This is the Blue Bomber Podcast with CFL Hall of Famer and my broadcast partner, Doug Brown.
It's like a head-on car accident there. Had to piggyback him, grab onto his waist as he pulled him kind of like a tractor pull there for a couple yards.
You can play it safe. You don't have to take these risks and just nickel and dime your way down the field.
Make sure to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or at cjob.com.
Hey, it's G-Mac and Doug Brown. It is the Blue Bomber Podcast with Greg Mackling and Doug Brown. So that's why we're both here. And guess where we are? 5-0, Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Is it 1960?
Since 1960. I think people are tired of hearing about this, Doug, don't you think?
I feel like we've traveled back in time. We've had, have you not seen all the...
How so?
Have you not seen all the things out there about the what... You know, society was like the last time the Bombers were 5-0. It was gas was quite affordable, and so was milk, amongst other things.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah,
long but time. The thing we have That's to realize and remember is that the Blue Bombers did not win the Grey Cup in 1960, in spite of a 10-0 start. They finished 14-2. Bud Grant was the coach. Kenny Plain was the quarterback. Kenny Plain got injured. We don't need to go down that road. But can we say that Matt Nichols is finally getting the respect that maybe some of us expected he might be able to earn some time ago?
You know, the funny thing about Matt Nichols is just how unique his standing and his abilities are as a quarterback. Whereas his yardage totals are nothing exceptional, his quarterback rating is number one and off the charts, right? His touchdown to interception ratio is incredible as well, unbelievable as well. So, you know, some people, depending on your prerogative and your slant and your bias, you know, you might be, oh, well, these guys have more yards. They throw for more yards than he does. But, I mean, what makes him so effective in this offense and on this football team that takes care of the ball very well, that wins turnover battles? You know, if they win a turnover battle, they're almost assured, they're almost 100% guaranteed to win a football game. So he is so well suited for this team because of his touchdown. What is it? 10 touchdowns to one interception now, 5 games in. That's outstanding.
Well, I think it's 12 to one.
12 to one touchdown interception ratio. Who cares about the yards, right? You're 5-0. Your quarterback rating is through the roof. You throw touchdowns for days. You know, you're on pace over two a game. And one interception in 5 games is that's incredible. That's on pace for around 3 for an 18-game season, right? So, and with 12 touchdowns, I mean, you're on pace for 36 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, which is absurd, which is MVP candidate conversation. And then if he maintains anywhere near that with his quarterback rating, that's also exceptional.
We had the conversation on Friday night about what percentage of Matt Nichols' passing yardage is on big plays. Going into the game Friday night, it was 38%, and he actually increased that percentage on Friday night.
Now, by big
strikes of 34 and
by big plays,
do you have a beef with this?
No, by big plays, I just want to define the parameters. Is that over 20 yards? Is that what you consider big play?
That's over 20 yards.
Okay.
Yeah, that's over 20 yards.
You got to lay the groundwork first.
Absolutely. And I know explosion plays are over 30, right? So big plays are over 20, explosion plays are over 30. But Matt Nichols, over 40% of his passing yards are on plays that are over 20 yards long, completions that are 20 yards long. And to me, that's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's two things, right? That means he has a very accurate long ball, so he's got great touch when he does throw deep, but it's also a huge credit to the kinds of explosive weapons he has. Obviously, Lucky Whitehead being one of them, Nick Dembski being another, who's injured right now, Kenny Lawler emerging as another one right there, a guy that can catch, you know, a 10-15-yard pass and take it to the house. More of those type of guys you have, the better you're going to look as a quarterback. But obviously, we've seen him throw some deep balls on that wheel route to Andrew Harris the other day. That was great touch on that pass. You know, he's been very, very accurate with his deep ball, and he's hitting guys in stride. I think that's the key to explosion plays, to big plays over the top, passing, is being able to hit guys when they don't have to break stride, and he's been outstanding at that.
Well, and obviously that's a testament to the offensive line as well. They didn't really see on Friday night in spite of some changes, and Jamarcus Hardrick was out of the game for a little while. The offensive line is really coming together, Doug.
Yeah, you know, with the injuries and the guys not in the lineup and the changes they've had, Patty Neufeld still out, Jamarcus Hardrick getting hurt, playing injured, two newcomers replacing the loss at center and right guard, you know, that was a big question mark for us. And Nichols, I mean, he gets hit occasionally, but, you know, we know he wouldn't be able to play and perform at the level he's playing at right now if they predominantly did not have a clean pocket, which is what we're seeing on a regular basis five games in. So outstanding job by obviously the offensive line coach, but those new players stepping in and just, you know, picking up where they left off. And obviously the running game has been a big benefactor from, you know, the presence they've had and the holes they've been able to open for Andrew Harris on the ground as well.
Here we are. We're 5 minutes into this conversation, and we've yet to talk about a defense that allowed 1 point against Ottawa on Friday night. How good is this defense? Is it smoke and mirrors, or are we talking about a team that genuinely has one of the better defensive units in the CFL?
Well, you know, last time I looked, which was the other day, the Bombers hadn't scored the most points in the CFL. They had scored the second most points, but they had given up the fewest points in the CFL, which obviously a credit to their defense. So I think there are more and bigger tests to come. I don't think you can count on giving, you know, 1 or 6 points up per game. You know, and immediately they're going to be tested going into Hamilton against the best team in the Eastern Division and possibly the second best team in the CFL. That'll be a fantastic test for the defense. They can perform anywhere near with allowing as few points as they've had the last couple of games. I mean, that will be an outstanding show for them. And you really, you know, fewer and fewer, the question marks just erode as the season goes on, and they make these performances more of habit and more consistent, fewer question marks can be asked of this defense. But, you know, right now, what is that? They give up 6 points the previous week and 1 point and 7 points in two games, and the number of games they've gone without touchdowns allowed, it is truly incredible that the pace they're playing at. They have, like we said, steeper competition in front of them, but you know, so far so good. We're almost a third of the way through the season.
How dominant, how can we use that word? This has been a dominant team so far this season, fair to say?
Fair to say. They don't even, you know, you want to talk about technical knockouts in boxing, right? What does that mean? When a referee decides the opponent is no longer able to compete. Like, these games could have been called at halftime, the last two games, right? They were up by 31 points against Toronto, and they were up by 26 points against Ottawa at halftime. Like, that is, honestly, they're almost killing the entertainment value of the second half of these games because it's cruise control mode. You know what I'm saying? There's no more drama. There's no more intrigue. These games are done halfway through the contest. I mean, there's no other way. When you talk about dominant football teams, when you've pretty much handled and taken care of your opponent in two quarters, and unless it was some sort of historic comeback, it's totally out of the question. That is the definition of a dominant football team, is when you are so good in the first and second quarter that you put the game away, and the third and fourth quarter it's just there, and you just have to play it out and play it through and go about your business, right? This football team has not trailed past halftime since week one against the BC Lions. They were down by three against the BC Lions in Vancouver in week one, and literally within minutes coming out in the third quarter, they regained the lead and they never looked back again, and they haven't been behind at the half since in the remainder of those four games.
Well, that's saying a lot. So let's take a look at the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And I think you're right. When we look at the schedule so far, this is a team, I think, that will give the Blue Bombers the toughest test that they've had to this point. They scored 64 points against Toronto back on June 22nd. They scored 41 points against Montreal, a team who just won their third straight game this past weekend. So Hamilton's done some damage. They've also broken their 14-game losing streak against Calgary. They're coming off a bye. They're going to be coming into this game with a ton of confidence, I suspect.
Yeah, for sure. They've had a ton of opportunity and time to study this opponent and prepare. They're very good at home. They've been very good so far this year with one blip on their schedule where they didn't play the way many of us thought they were capable of. So this is a great test for this Winnipeg Blue Bomber football team. You know, people are still saying, oh, it's a strength of schedule that has resulted in their 5-0 record. But what are you going to say now if you go into Hamilton and you win this game and you play anywhere near the kind of dominant football you have been up to this point? What are you going to say after that game? If they are victorious in Hamilton and they maintain any of the characteristics on offense, defense, or special teams we've seen throughout the season so far, I mean, this team is as authentic and the real deal as it gets in pro football. So what an exciting test for the football club and their fan base to really have a big step up in terms of the talent level of your opponent. But I honestly think, you know, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I think they're head and shoulders above most of the teams, if not all the teams in the CFL right now. And I think that's going to be the result we're going to see on Friday. But it's certainly not going to be, I'd be real surprised if it was one of those situations where, like I said, it's done after two quarters, right? This is going to be probably and most likely a four-quarter effort from Winnipeg. But I mean, this football team is so deep. They're so talented. They're so balanced. And one of the biggest things Bob Irving and I talk about on the broadcast, they just don't have, like, what's their weakness? Where are you going to attack these guys? Who are you going to go after? Mm-hmm. You know, what is their vulnerability? Is it their offensive line? No, it's not. Is it running game? No. Are they too heavy and overloaded on the passing game? No. You know, they're a very balanced football team. They're very smart. They distribute the ball better than anybody. So you can't just take away a player or a weapon defensively and think you're going to succeed against these guys because there's so many other targets and available explosive players to you. It's just next man up mentality, right? And the defense, as soon as you start pressing against these guys, they start taking the football away. The defensive line is starting to come into their own in terms of consistent pressure. I mean, Willie Jefferson is one of the biggest signings this defense had, but Jackson Jeffcoat might be better than him right now with how this season has gone in terms of how consistent and regularly he's making plays both against the pass and the run. I mean, it's incredible how good their defensive ends are, and their interior guys are a force as well. So this is a very, very strong football team. If they can maintain the biggest obstacle, I think, for them right now going forward, especially in Hamilton, is just not buying into the fact that you're undefeated. Don't let that get to your head, because if they approach every game the way they've been doing it thus far, I don't know who can beat them right now. It's going to have to be an off day for them or one of those turnover days where, you know, things just don't go right for you and guys are putting the ball on the deck that don't normally do it. That's really, that could be the only opportunity or scenario where they're going to lose.
What does it say about this defense that their number one defensive player, the defensive player of the league in the CFL last year, Adam Bighill, has been out of the lineup and they haven't skipped a beat? I know that is probably a very strong endorsement for the play of Kyrie Wilson, but does it say something? Does it say anything at all about the defense as a whole based on what they've had to deal with in that adversity?
Yeah, I mean, even when Adam Bighill isn't there, you know, on the football field, I think his presence is still felt, right? He is still one of the leaders and you know, the captain of that defense, the leader of that football team. And, you know, he's still a part. He's still at practice. He's still in meetings. He's close to getting ready to return. And guys like that set the bar and set the tone for the rest of the players. So I think even though they've been able to be successful in his absence, I still think he's a big part of this because he's kind of set the bar, right? Everything changed once he arrived in terms of accountability for this defense, in terms of guys no longer having miscues and not communicating and dropping guys in coverage and allowing guys to get behind them and not knowing their responsibilities. That all went out the window when Adam Bighill arrived, and the continuation of that, whether he's on the field or not, is not surprising for me.
Winston Rose, just got to give him singular recognition. He had a big interception. I know The game against Toronto, the Blue Bombers dominated on every front, but Winston Rose had an interception in the Blue Bomber end zone when Toronto was trying to get back in the game when they were still in the game early in the first half. And then it was his interception, his pick six, that really got things going in terms of point scoring for the Blue Bombers. So I just wanted to give him some extra recognition because we spend so much time talking about Jefferson, about Jeffcoat, about Big Hill, and now Kyrie Wilson. I think Winston Rose deserves some recognition as well, Doug.
Yeah, as a free agent signing, he's certainly done a good job in terms of living up to expectations and maybe exceeding expectations in terms of what he could do in the secondary. It's a long season still in front of him, but he's been definitely one of their better defenders in the back end.
Off the top of the podcast, we were talking about Mr. Nichols and his dominance. Who is the MVP of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers right now?
Wow. You know, there's obviously Andrew Harris is on track for a career season. Nick Dembski, prior to getting hurt, was doing outstanding. Matt Nichols, his quarterback rating, his touchdown to interception ratio is through the roof. I think with the way quarterbacks get attention and have their statistics overplayed, and obviously CFL being synonymous with being a quarterback league, I would probably go with Matt Nichols right now, almost a third of the way through the football season, just based on the numbers he's put up. I mean, even when he's not playing his best, he's never going to cost you a game. He just doesn't, you know, if he's not throwing a bunch of touchdown passes, which he has this year, he's just not making mistakes and errors with the football, right? So I think he is probably the catalyst right now for why this football team, and probably the most important, most outstanding player for this football team right now, a third of the way through the season.
Just a couple hours before we came in to record this podcast, news broke that Chris Matthews was out in a Winnipeg nightclub on Saturday night and was stabbed. What's your reaction to that? Because I know there was a head coach here once upon a time, and maybe all of them saying at one time or another, nothing good happens after midnight. But on the other side, how does that make a guy like Chris Matthews feel? He's a guest in our community. How do you think he's feeling after a situation like this? I mean, put aside the physical wounds, is there a damage to the relationship potentially between the community and Chris Matthews after something like that happening?
Yeah, you know, it's always hard to speculate in a situation like this unless you were there, unless you talked to him, unless you find out what really went down. You just don't know. It certainly wasn't the first time there's been fisticuffs or violent situations with football players at, nightclubs or bars or whatever after hours or later on. I mean, one of the best seasons on the football team I was a part of in 2001, we had a bunch of guys, Troy Mills and Arlen Bruce, I think. There's probably three or four of them, and they got jumped outside. I don't know if it was called the library or lot three something. But there have been situations. I remember it was when Dave Ritchie was the head coach, where it made the news and everything. And there was a big fight, and these guys had some bruises and some marks on them, and they came to work the next day, and it was just wrong place, wrong time. And you're right when you said Dave Ritchie was also the kind of guy that says nothing good happens after this time. And every now and then, there's so many football players that make up a football team. What is there, 60 odd guys? It's just a matter of time and odds, right, where there's going to be interactions and situations and scenarios, especially all the guys, the majority of guys being from out of town and not knowing, where to go and what to do and who, where you shouldn't be and where you can be, so on and so forth. They can find themselves in compromising situations. And luckily, from everything I've heard, Chris Matthews is perfectly fine. I think the stabbing might have been a little bit of an overplay. But, he's lucky he got to learn from that mistake, and it wasn't a lot more serious.
Now, you mentioned Dave Ritchie and the advice that he might have had for his players on that sort of thing. What kind of advice would you give young players? Like, when you went out back in the day, you're a gigantic man. So I can't imagine that there were too many people stupid enough to come up to you and try and egg you in or try to get you into a fight. But I can only imagine that
professional athletes deal with that garbage all the time.
Well, you know what? I was here, where was I on the football team from 2001 to 2011. And yeah, honestly, I never had a situation where I felt like something was going to go down or something was wrong. But I also think, you know, it's a factor of you just be smart about it, right? You leave when your buddies leave and you go places, you know, where you have your teammates or your friends there, so on and so forth. Because it doesn't matter how big and strong you are or you know, whether you can fight or not. You know, it's just a numbers game, right? If there's enough of the people that are coming up against you, then it doesn't really matter. So I think, I think you need to learn not to overstay your welcome at places and to understand that, you know, when your friendly faces have disappeared, it's probably time for you to get out of there as well, because, you know, it can be a dangerous place, just like any city in Canada can be. But that is, you know, that's a truth from my scenario. My 11 years here, never once did I feel like I was about to get, not that I can think of. I mean, I did make a citizen's arrest once in Winnipeg, but that was a long time ago. But never did I ever feel like, you know, it was, I was in a situation I was going to be compromised. And I used to go out all the time. So, you know, I don't know. Granted, a lot of times Richard Harris was there. So you see me and Richard Harris together, you got to be pretty crazy to start some trouble, I think.
Coach Harris would be out with you?
Oh, well, I mean, maybe at the pregame shenanigans, you know, you go out and you maybe before you go to the end of the night bar, you'd have your warm-up place. So he would sometimes be at a warm-up place like an Earl's or something like that, and he would be there. But like I said, Coach Harris, so protective of his players. If anyone even tried to start something with, you know, defensive linemen, which are for the most part, it's not a smart idea to get involved with them on a football team anyways, but he would literally step in and, you know, make sure that you didn't even have to deal with that situation. He would handle it for you. So he was a very scary man, very imposing physically, that's for sure, even, you know, in his 60s.
Doug, this whole consistency, and I know we want to wrap things up here, but this consistency of the Blue Bomber coaching staff for the most part, and you meld that and you pair that with the consistency of the personnel, the player personnel, to a great extent. Tell us the potential effect of that. We've seen Buck Pierce rumored to have turned down a job elsewhere in order to stay here. We've seen Paul LaPolice, who for all intents and purposes should be a head coach somewhere else, chooses to stay in Winnipeg. What's the value overall to the club, and what's the value to a player when his coach is loyal to a franchise like this and like those examples I just cited?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a unique and a different approach, right? A lot of regime leaders have not had the patience to go through a couple tough years. It was almost 2.5 tough years before they were able to turn this thing around and go on the run that they're going on right now and being this good and in contention for a championship. It took multiple years. Like I said, at least 2.5 before they found their path and got this ship righted. So, and a lot of previous managers would not. We've seen, you know, we saw guys like Doug Berry, who, you know, 3 years made the playoffs 3 years in a row and, you know, wasn't able to continue for a fourth. So it's continuity and, you know, letting guys really put their stamp on both the player personnel and their leadership and what kind of personalities and athletes they want in a room. You know, it obviously can take time, and I think that's one of the greatest assets and attributes this new regime has had, is that they've given these guys a chance, they've weathered the storm, and now right now they are reaping the benefits.
I think we covered the things you're most impressed with the team, and can I summarize it in saying that it's the fact that they've got all phases going, or is there something you want to add to that thought before we run and make our predictions for Friday night?
As a final thought, I would be like, if people ask you, what are you most surprised about this football team? And it's just the fact that, you know, we all thought they'd be good. We just had no idea it was to this degree. Like, they've been exponentially better than their opponent, and they keep getting better seemingly on a week by week basis. So the growth has been incredible. The moves they made in the offseason have paid off in a huge way. And yeah, this is just, I mean, this is as good as it gets in terms of season so far, nearing the one-third mark of the 18-game schedule. That's what's been most surprising, is just, it's not that they've been good, it's just how good and the degree and that margin between them and their opponent.
Last year at this time, and last year as we were marching towards the playoffs, I think every pundit, every fan, every observer would have said, you know, if we just had a big play receiver, if we just had maybe a one more impact player on defense, we could go all the way. Well, they've taken care of those things, and I don't think they've sacrificed anything in accomplishing those goals and bringing those difference makers in. They've been very lucky on that front.
Yeah, for sure. It's everything is just kind of falling into place and coming together right now, and it's the perfect storm of talent, leadership, continuity, a great locker room, and explosive play ability, and tenured veteran nucleus. And it is just, it's piling in on all fronts, and that's the result we're seeing on the football field right now.
And not spending $700,000 on one play.
On one player. And I mean, I wrote a story about that. I'm like, how are you not crippling the rest of your roster and exposing holes in the rest of your roster when you overpay and overspend? I mean, that's right now turning out to be the worst team in the West, the one with arguably the best player at quarterback who's making the most money. But guess what? The rest of the team just can't keep up with that.
You be in Hamilton Friday night, Doug?
Certainly. I wouldn't miss this one for anything.
Doug Brown, thanks as always.
Pleasure, Greg.
The Blue Bomber Podcast with Doug Brown. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or at cjob.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.